In 3, 2, 1. Hey, everybody, we're back at the Sports Medicine Update, and we're on the Sports Medicine broadcast, and I've taken over the show from Jeremy Jackson. And across from me is Marianne Landon, one of our recent graduates. And to the left of me is Dr. Summer Ott. Not only is Dr. Ott a neuropsychologist, but she's one of our adjunct faculty at the University of Houston Master of Athletic Training Program. And I am Dr. Josh Yellen, your host that has pirated the program. And so, Dr. Ott, tell us about the lecture that you gave us. It's about managing the student athlete with repetitive concussions. Tell us about this thing, concussions, please.
The Outreach Athletic Training Group here at Memorial Hermann, when selecting their topics, they felt like multiple concussions was really an area that we hadn't addressed before previously, so I was happy to talk about it. It's certainly something that plagues athletes, especially in contact sports. And as a provider, it's especially difficult when you have some athletes who don't seem to have any apparent signs and symptoms or difficulties that are persisting after having suffered multiple concussions, and have other athletes who are two in their history and they're really having problematic recovery. We start talking about, do we retire them? What future holds? So I think it's a topic that is gaining much more emphasis in the literature, but also the media certainly has went wildfire with it, and a lot of misconceptions out there. So I kind of want to address some of those today.
Tell us some of those misconceptions, right? Because if I'm the average person, and let's just say, right, my son is playing football at Clear Falls High School. He's going to be a junior. And, you know, I'm, as a father, I'm worried about concussion. And tell us some of those misconceptions that we need to know about as just the general population.
One of the most prevalent things right now, and it's something that I addressed recently in the media, was the idea of concussions causing chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Mm-hmm. So CTE is something that's been shown to be tied to retired NFL players, suicide, difficulty life-ending issues. And so because there hasn't been proper education, really, then a lot of people assume that that's a course of concussion. And so parents are worried, and rightfully so. I'm a parent too. And so to prevent something like kid really young, should they just play sports? Is that the answer? So spending a lot of time, everyone gets CTE. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has some of these situations.
So I had one of my neighbors come to me, and their child is a youth football player, and said, hey, you know, look at him. I think he's concussed, and worried about him getting CTE. And I said, yeah, sure. So I evaluated. I said, he is concussed, and this is what I would do. And they came back to me that, you know, I went to my pediatrician that, you know, he probably, you know, is developing CTE. Can CTE be diagnosed while somebody's alive?
I'm so glad you brought that scenario up, because
Thanks.
It's becoming so common and scary, because people feel like it's a death sentence. And as I was telling a national reporter, that individuals are coming in almost just really resigning to the fact that they have this illness and that all of their issues are attributable to CTE. And it's something that cannot be diagnosed in the living. Mm-hmm. There is no diagnostic criteria yet. There are links, but there's certainly evidence of CTE in people that have not had repetitive contact playing sport histories.
Mm-hmm. And so what are some of those links that you're looking at?
Well, we certainly always want to look at things evidence-based, right? So, for example, looking at, is there any genetic components that lead to this type of condition? Is there a number? Is there things that ends like alcohol use, drug? Is there certain personality to begin with that might be vulnerable to this type of situation?
Okay, good. So let's go back to the repetitive concussions, right? So I get, as a football player, I think I had too many to count. So it's repetitive concussions. We get our first concussion. And for all those that are listening, there's so many different definitions of concussion. So what's your definition of a concussion? And then let's move on from there.
Gosh, not very long to talk anymore. So the recent concussion and sport group in Berlin met, and this is like all the minds of concussion, and put their heads together and certainly reviewed the consensus. And in short, they came up with a really good definition that I like, because it's multifaceted. It really talks about different features. A few of those features are that you don't have a direct head. It can be the body with enough force, may or may not consciousness, may usually has immediate onset of symptoms, prolonged symptoms, nice trajectory or course of them do not. So I think it's important to really, again, can't stress enough, individualized diagnosis, but also the assessment of concussion.
And so now when you talk about the meeting group in Berlin, and we talk about the SCAT, right? And we went from SCAT 3 and we're on to the SCAT 5.
So you did not miss a year, Josh. Despite your number of concussions, you did not have a lapse in memory. There is SCAT 3 to SCAT 5.
And when we missed SCAT 4?
Yes. So when I asked the powers that be, they indicated that it's because it's the fifth concussion in sport conference that they wanted to just then go to the SCAT 5.
So we're missing four. We're going on a five.
We just moved on along.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now what is it that when you talk about multiple concussion, repetitive concussions, what kind of things are you looking for? So obviously the signs and symptoms, right? I hit with my head, or now I hit with my body and I had some sort of force and I have a headache.
Right. A lot of things to consider, and this is what I presented in the talk as well, is less biomechanical force causing symptoms? So are you getting less force that are making the symptoms big and then they're lasting longer? That's one. What's the spacing between concussions? Are you having one every single year? Mm-hmm. Or did you have one when you're 5 and now you're 20? So those kinds of things. What is the quality of life that you're leading now? How's that been impactful? Mm-hmm. What level of play are you? Are you someone that can report things? Do we trust you? So all those things go into the equation and the decision.
So it's really taking all of this evidence, as you said it, right, putting into some sort of algorithm and starting to make sense of this is what we're getting as far as reporting, and this is how we make sense of it clinically. Marianne, what's some of your experience with concussions?
The biggest in a public high school in Texas, your parents, any sport, they have to sign all these. Here's a paper, here's the signs and look out what causes. But then you still have the parents, some of the athletes, and report some of this, and they'll go to the doctor and basically, I read this on. I heard from my friend that no matter how straight healthcare professionals try to make it, you have that little lock.
Well, I think you and I have talked before, Marianne, that it's difficult sometimes because concussion symptoms can overlap with other syndromes. Mm-hmm. And some of those particularly can be anxiety disorders where there's maybe performance issues or other things. And so how do you handle those things when it comes to other overlapping things you might consider?
I think the biggest thing is, like you said, in knowing your athlete, knowing your patient population, it's just a challenge if it's somebody you're meeting for the first time, their baseline, or especially if that one side of that person in school or in sports, or different person at parents, so there's a little bit of conflict of information trying to get.
So I notice now, and we're going to have to wrap up because our next guest is sitting right there, but I notice now that, athletic trainers have new billing codes, and so the billing codes under neurocognitive assessment has expanded quite a bit, mm-hmm. where athletic trainers now need to know some of these baseline tests. Mm-hmm. When they're looking at some of the, my wife is going through a curriculum in school psychology, and she's constantly testing us with a battery of tests. But some of these tests that we have to assess them as far as understanding patterns, right? So we really need to know all of these different assessments. And I think one of the faster growing areas that we're going to see in athletic training is being able to work with somebody like Dr. Ott, neuropsychology. And hopefully we can start to develop some more residency programs in neuropsychological evaluation.
Yeah, I can't say enough how this injury, in addition to several others, but probably this one that receives the most attention of any sports injury, right? Really needs an interdisciplinary team of professionals. And when it comes to things like neurocognitive testing, there are certain things that, yes, might be appropriate for an athletic trainer to do in terms of screening. Mm-hmm. But even myself, I always question, am I, inappropriately and being ethical, making sure that I'm always practicing within my scope of practice? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we can, especially with this injury, we want to help people, but it's easy and maybe we get pressure that we might tread a little bit in an area that's really not appropriate. So I think that's where when that team works together,
right.
You can kind of really help. Yeah.
Yeah, that interprofessional team that's there just to, the patient's there to benefit. So that's always a great lesson to learn. I know that we have to end short, but the good news is that Dr. Ott teaches for us, so we can always get her on the Sports Medicine broadcast whenever we want to. And for those that are good at reading, I'm not, but for those good at reading, Dr. Ott has had a great article, right? She was quoted in an article, which will be up on the MAT program Facebook page pretty soon, and she's an expert in this area, and we're happy to have her. So we're going to sign off for this for Marianne Landon and Jeremy Jackson, who I've taken the show over from, and Dr. Summer Ott. I'm Dr. Josh Yellen, and that's a wrap.